A couch potato warning is in effect as DirecTV transforms Thanksgiving into Streamsgiving. DirecTV's got free TV nationwide. With a heavy front of 60-plus live channels and a steady stream of streaming apps, conditions are perfect for nonstop entertainment. So hunker down on the couch and sign up for your free trial of My Entertainment from DirecTV. I'm going to watch some free TV.
Start streaming My Entertainment from DirecTV now at streamsgiving.com. My free is free. Paid services. 5-day free trial, then auto renews monthly. Cancel anytime. Temporary credit hold may apply. Restrictions apply. See streamsgiving.com for details. AI produced.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
To Perth, Western Australia, Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, having moved to Perth from his roost in Fiji. The topic is Oceania, the vast Indo-Pacific with the islands and sovereignties and sometimes colonies that are under a challenge by the People's Republic of China for, initially, who do you love, Taipei or Beijing? But eventually, for a thinking strategy out of Beijing to dominate the island chains and mitigate any response by the United States and its allies to a potential invasion or domination of Taiwan. Gregory, a very good day to you. You post that Xi has suffered another defeat in the Taiwan election. How so? Good day to you, Gregory.
Good evening, John. Well, yes, Xi Jinping warned the Taiwanese voters not to vote again for the Democratic Progressive Party, the candidate, the former Vice President Lai, William Lai. And they did so despite the threats of war from Beijing. So, and Vice President Lai was overwhelmingly elected to the presidency. So that was an overwhelming rejection of the threats by Xi Jinping. He'd said that this was a vote between war and peace and that the Taiwanese should do as they're told. Well, they didn't. So it was really snubbing their nose at Xi Jinping. And this is another occasion which he has demonstrated that he has a declining influence, not only in the world and in the region, but in his own country, highlighting the fact that he is under extreme pressure. Now, he didn't have to put himself in this position. It was obvious for the last 6 months that the DPP were solidly in line to win the presidency with this election. The opposition, which Beijing tacitly supported, although they don't support Xi Jinping or the Communist Party, but the opposition were in disarray in Taiwan for these elections. So we knew that Xi was going to be defeated in this particular psychological war, and that was what happened. And this is what's been going on time after time, literally in all the major decisions since he took office in 2012. And right now, it's critical because the main opposition groups within the Communist Party of China and within the elders of the party have basically had enough of him, and the People's Liberation Army have now openly broken with him. So he can't, in fact, order them to war with any degree of certainty or the chance of success. So what he did with this election and the way he handled his opposition to Taiwan's internal activities was to shorten his own political career. The question is, what's going to happen now? Is he going to try? Well, the first thing he tried was, and something which he'd been preparing, I think he was warned that he better have something up his sleeve. And one of the things that he was able to do was the day or two after the election, the government of the South Pacific mini state of Nauru changed its diplomatic allegiance from the Republic of China, namely Taiwan, over to Beijing. And that would have cost Beijing a lot of money. Nauru is a very small country with a very quirky government, which is prone to making decisions on the spur of the minute. I think this one involved the transactions which involved a lot of money under the counter. So, okay, Nauru switched its diplomatic allegiance from Taiwan to Beijing. And yes, that hurts the Taiwanese because they've only got 12, 13 countries left in the world that recognize Republic of China instead of the People's Republic of China. But it's not a great victory, and it doesn't get Xi Jinping off the hook. He's still going to pay a price for this within the party. What will he do in the meantime? Well, he has definitely put a few more aircraft over Taiwan or in its air defense identification zone and put a few ships into what are technically Taiwan's international waters, warships. But there's very little he can do because he does not want to prompt the potential for a major conflict, a military conflict with Taiwan, which would then drag in Japan and would escalate dramatically from there. The PLA will not allow it. The elders of the Communist Party will not allow it. So the question now is whether Xi is able to reassert his authority within the party and within mainland China, where he's spending more money on internal security than he is on his armed forces, or whether he just goes quietly into the night or suddenly into the night, depending on how the party feels. But something is going to happen in the coming months, and it's increasingly likely that what's going to happen is Xi Jinping will move back from the center of power, maybe removed entirely, or he will attempt to preempt that by having a faction of the PLA possibly do something spectacular in order to draw attention away from his failures in the diplomatic and economic arena, because the Chinese economy, as we know, is already in absolute meltdown.
You've just left Fiji, an island country in Melanesia, in conversation with significant voices in Fiji. Is the event of Nauru or the pressure put on all of the islands of Oceania, is that a factor for Fiji? Are they worried about their next?
Well, they're not worried that they're next because they've got a very resolute government which has resisted all manner of corruption because, in fact, it was elected to office to remove the corruption of the previous, essentially a dictatorship of Frank Bainimarama. So you've got a government now which was able to get so many votes that they were able to overwhelm, if you like, the political corruption to get a government back there under Prime Minister Sitiveni Rambuka, who's known for his leadership qualities and for his scrupulous honesty. So they're not going to resist. They're not going to be faced with whether or not the government can be bought off by Beijing. Prime Minister Rambuka is also scrupulous about being nonpartisan in the East-West conflict. He is, by his background and nature and education, part of the West, but he will attempt to use Fiji's good offices as one of the great leaders of the South Pacific nations to broker peace between the People's Republic of China and the United States in particular. And he's working on a concept called the Ocean of Peace, whereby he brings all of the micro states of the Southwest Pacific into something which is much more like a commonwealth of states involving all 16 members of the Pacific Islands Forum countries, and that includes New Zealand as an oceanic country in the region, which has a Polynesian population. And basically the Pacific Island Forum countries are either Melanesian or Polynesian, and that goes over to include countries like Papua New Guinea and the like, and, of course, the Solomons, where Beijing has made big inroads recently. But what's happening now is that the Pacific Island Forum is coming to its next session in August of this year, where they'll be, I think, developing a much closer relationship thanks to Prime Minister Rambuka's Ocean of Peace philosophy, which is designed to help them retain their sovereignty as individual states, but to have a greater collective bargaining over the resources and assets of the South Pacific, which are massive, including fisheries and, of course, ocean bed resources, as well as on land resources, huge resources in terms of minerals, copper, gold, and so on. So basically, Fiji is well prepared to resist these depredations by the People's Republic of China. But what's clear is that most people in Oceania, in those 16 island nations, and in Australia for that matter, is that there's a great unawareness of just how much China's power, real power, economic and military power, has declined. China is not the rising power, and it hasn't been for a long time, but it's been disguised by very, very effective propaganda and this wolf warrior diplomacy of Beijing's designed to intimidate and stop all criticism. But the reality is that China is a declining power. And one of the things I've been talking about in Australia and in Fiji was, what do we all do in the region in the post-China era? In other words, when China goes through its massive economic meltdown, which is underway right now, and the great Chinese market, both for foreign goods and Chinese ability to invest in the region, is gone. What happens then? Does the United States, in fact, start to withdraw some of its emphasis on the Indo-Pacific? So are we going to see an era in which not only Chinese investment disappears, but also U.S. investment and support will start to slow down again? So Prime Minister Rumbuka is looking to a period where Oceania, coupled with Australia and the like, can start to develop not just a self-sufficiency in terms of resources and markets, but also to build a new super regional negotiating bloc to have a greater say on the world stage. And that includes a say in the preservation of the Pacific from a lot of environmental damage, which has been underway over the past decades.
We need to race to the other side of the world. Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, Too Many Villains, Too Little Time. We're off to Ethiopia. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
SpinQuest Social Casino. The presents are open and you're over the in-laws. It's a perfect time to grab your phone and play SpinQuest.com with live dealer blackjack, craps, and a ton of slots. And here's a great deal for the holiday, a $30 coin pack for $10. And if you're hearing this ad, you can play right now on SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.